UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Well, it is the last hour of the decade. Might as well go out the way that we probably went in with you finishing some lunch. Also, we should give a shout-out again to our friends at Mill & Tony's because it is a Mill & Tony Monday. So shout-out to Yaya and the gang, the Familia, spelled with a G, over at Mill & Tony's for dropping off some delicious chicken spinach cannelloni. That was a lot of times the Mill & Tony food gets devoured almost immediately, but that was probably record time today. I hope everyone got some because, I mean, it was like a first bounce type of thing. But, yeah, check out Mill & Tony's. They got two great locations, one right off of the Hirschborn exit, another one, 1600 in Bardstown. $5.99 lunch special that has manicotti and lasagna, a bunch of Italian staples that goes until 2 p.m. So you might have missed it today, but you might as well usher in the new year with some delicious Italian food at Mill & Tony's. I'm freestyling this read because I don't know where my copy went, but we've done it enough that I know enough about it. But yeah, usher in the new year with some delicious Mill & Tony's. Also, it's weird. There's a lot of holiday parties. Every company I'm associated with is having their holiday party in January. So if you still have some holiday parties going on, definitely reach out to Yaya and get some delicious pasta, Italian dishes catered to you. We've used them for Jamie's wedding. We used them for some Kentuckiana Friends of V outings. Fabulous stuff. And she offers discounts on orders of $250 or more. So check out Mill & Tony's. Tell Yaya we said hi. And if you mention ESPN 680, you'll get free garlic cheesy bread with your next order. There we go. I did that all off the top of my head. I think I'm going to go back and see if there's any delicious Alfredo sauce. And I'm going to get some bread from next door.
That's an idea. Because there's a lot of that sauce left, but
all the breadsticks got eaten because people were doing just
but
that.
But what's unbelievable is we don't even have remotely a full house today. Rummage is not here. Half the salespeople aren't here. The hosts are not here. Ennis is not here. Diener's not here. And yet, that food gone. Gone.
Seriously.
I mean, that was like record-settingly fast.
It was gone by 12:30.
It was. The people did serious nomming.
Dicks the cannelloni, everybody. Cannelloni is like
giant
tubes. I
gotta admit, that's really good. I've only had it when they've brought it here, but now I think next time I go to the restaurant, that may be. I have so many things I want to get.
Yeah, no, it was. I think I'm saying the right thing here because okay. I am Chef Boyardee Italian. I'm trying to get in touch with my roots. I gave you and Mom ancestry.
You didn't. You wound up not giving it to us.
What are you talking about?
You bought it and then you never gave it to us.
It did. It was in the freaking bag.
Oh, it was in the bag. Okay.
Yeah. It was one of the late gifts we opened when the GF came over.
We got some great. The other thing I bought at FAO Schwartz in New York, by the way, that I didn't remember opening Christmas Day. I'm so mad because I would want it to place. We play games until literally people are falling asleep at the table. There were two people at the table whose heads were bonking to the table.
Yeah, you made my Jewish girlfriend swear off of dreidel for the rest of her life.
Well, thanks for that. Well, that makes me feel good. Thank you. Feel good about that. Appreciate that. Thanks.
I'm just kidding.
There's a game called Which Came First, and we didn't play that.
Oh, that looks so awesome.
I know, and then we didn't
that
play it.
So awesome.
We spent 5 hours playing a dreidel game.
Well, we played it to its conclusion until all the guilt.
I was determined to see that thing come. People wanted to quit, and I would not let us quit. Because then it became a science experiment. We were playing with the wrong rules, and so the person who went first always won. And anyway,
which was her.
Yeah.
And then we changed the rules, and she still won.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I ran. I left my phone in the car. Went out to get
say,
it.
You look frazzled.
Well, I thought I thought I lost it when I went to get a soft drink next door at James John's.
James John's.
Let's go see. Have I seen the reservations planned for Louisville Slugger Field? I have not. I've not seen that.
I don't know what this is either.
We're getting bullpens. Well, there are bullpens now. Those little areas down the line, but
no, but like the actual closed-in ones.
I guess where are they putting them?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Because on one hand,
I don't like them. I used to like them down there. I don't like them there now anymore. Because
wait, when you say down there, you mean the ones that are like
right
along
on the side there? Because first of all, the fans either do one of two things: either they get obnoxious with the other team's players, or they you can't see the game because then they're warming up their pitchers, and you got this seat, and you got the pitcher and the catcher and the guy whose job is to protect you from getting hit by a foul ball down there all standing in your way. You should have a nice, clear view of the field in that seat.
I do think I'm with you 90% here.
Okay.
Because I also...
So it's not really Johnny Two Sides. It's Johnny Three Quarter Sides.
Yeah. So, like, it kind of looks like the Joker. Like, most of his mouth is like... Or that's Two-Face. Sorry. And also, as oftentimes being the bullpen catcher, it would always suck when you missed a ball and it like bounced or skipped into play, and then all play had to stop, and you had to be like, "Wow, you can't even catch a ball in warmups." But like, yeah, well, you know, my pitcher's bouncing him in there, like, you know, he's throwing a googly in cricket. What do you want from me? I digress. A lot of those pitchers are my friends. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say.
Oh, but, Johnny, quick. Johnny cannot get through. Can't get through a sentence without Johnny sticking his nose in there.
There you go. But no, it is kind of cool when there's a pitcher maybe on rehab or like Aroldis Chapman. When Chapman was warming up and seeing that up close and personal, because, I mean, you couldn't get that close if they were in one of those bullpens in the back. So to see the pop of the mitt and him just absolutely throwing laser gas, that was pretty cool up close and personal. I will say that. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, it is minor league, so you have guys on assignment coming in. And everything like that. It's like, ooh, there's a, I don't know, name somebody.
Sully just wrote about this. Oh, no, he wrote about this in July.
So
I could have asked him if he knew what the renovations were.
But I don't know. I mean, I do kind of think that, you know, having the bullpen in the back.
They announced what they're doing with the $8 million. The $8 million was committed, and Sully wrote about it in the summer, in July. The new lease at La Slugger Field provided for $8 million in renovations, but they just announced what they're going to use that money for over the weekend. I just saw the blueprints online. So I love the outfield bullpens at Rocky Stadium. You can stand over the top and talk to the players. Well, I like that too. I don't mind if you can lean over the top. That's what my brother did at Yankee Stadium when the guy told him to go F himself.
I love
he was
10
years old.
That's funny. And also, I mean, if you have I'm a sucker for the closer entrance. I'm a big fan of that. I don't know if you necessarily would get that in, you know, AAA, but because if the closer's really, really good, he's going to be heading up to, oh, yeah, that is pretty cool, showing me the sign from the Bruins kid. That's cute. If the closer's really good, he's going to be called up, but especially with the Reds. But I do kind of like the, you know, when they play the entrance music and he comes in. My all-time favorite closer until I found out he was, and even after I found out, I was just like, Eric Gagne. He was full of, like, horse tranquilizer and Canadian moxie, but, man, did I love him. And I loved his entrance when he would come in for the Dodgers. Oh, my God, he's so awesome.
So it's the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. This is the last show of the teens, the decade. And chances are I won't do another show at the end of the decade because there's no way I'm still going to be doing talk radio in 2029.
Hey, come on. Not with that attitude.
Probably not.
You'll be what?
I'll be older than
an even 100.
Listeners don't want to know. An even 100. Very funny. You're a freaking riot.
I am.
What else do we want to get into? If it doesn't always play out,
holy spit, I'll be 40.
You may not make it to that far.
No, that's a good point. I
shouldn't joke about that.
I eat a lot of carbs when I'm not on the Vitality program, which you and I are definitely going to be starting
day after New Year.
No, whoa, January 3rd.
January 3rd is our meeting?
I haven't set a date yet.
All right,
actually.
Let's see.
New Year's Day is
Wednesday, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe we should wait till the following Monday.
Yeah, that's what I was actually. So I was gonna. I'm dead serious because I always think it's cliche to start a diet on a Monday.
No, actually, you want to know the truth? The people who do the diet stuff for a living tell you you should always start a diet on a Monday.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I always thought that was cliche to do it then, but all right. If that's what they say. So that would be January 6th. Would be that Monday.
January 6th, Echo Man says. And the reason we're eager to get back on it is because when you do Vitality, you are, it's again, I can't emphasize enough, the name of the company is Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. There's a whole bunch of ways you can lose weight. It'll lop an arm off. That'll drop about 20 pounds right there. But nobody suggests that's a healthy way to lose weight. Same thing with some of these other diets. All of the reputable ones work. They all, people are like, oh, that doesn't work. Trust me, if you did it the way they tell you to do it, you can lose weight. The difference is, A, some of them are so miserable. The only thing on your mind is, when can I be done with this awful experience? And secondly, they don't really teach you how to eat differently. And with Vitality, they tell you why you're doing what it is you're doing. You feel better. It's not just look better. You feel better. And you know how I know that for a fact that you are better? Because I'm eager to go back and do it again because I'm sure since we've kind of gotten away from the program here for a little bit, I want to get back on it because as a guy who had high blood pressure issues for literally 20 years, and either, you know, what do they call that, pre-hypertension to absolute hypertension, taking medication for it, all that. I changed no medication. I changed nothing else other than did Vitality. And the last time I went to the cardiologist, blood pressure was 110 over 65, which is about as textbook. I was shocked. I made them do it again because I was like, I think your machine's messed up. And it came out that way again. So I'm telling you, it does what it's – and you know what else? You can eat. You can eat food. So nice, you can eat food. It's not like, well, I go to this program, it's fantastic. I have stew and pizza. It's prepackaged, frozen stuff. It's the size of your thumbnail. And, oh, yeah, look at me, knock down this pizza. I'm going to cut it into 8 slices. Anybody have tweezers? I mean, that's not how this one works. You get portions of real food. We've learned and discovered some new foods, some things that we never knew, we never tried before. It is very, very delicious and very, very effective. So they teach you what to do. As importantly, they show you and tell you why you're doing it. You see the results so quickly. That's the other thing, by the way. You do lose weight in a very, on top of it all, if you say, oh, I just want to lose weight, trust me, the weight comes flying off and you're healthier. And it's very distracting to do this where Nick is on the floor on his knees. I have no idea what's going on over there. What the hell are you doing over there? What are you doing down there?
You don't pay attention to me normally when I'm saying stuff over here. So,
yes, I do. No. What are you talking about? No. Oh, it's cool. It's like doing a show with a jockey.
Javier Castellano, ladies and gentlemen. Drew Diener sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa, how about that?
No, because I'm Javier Castellano.
I know that. I got the joke.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to reset this computer because it's not syncing up to Dropbox. So we're not able to send each other clips. And it's very annoying. And I think I just turned a computer off that wasn't this computer. So
it's a good chance that we're off the air.
And the Farm Report might be playing.
Very nice.
Or ESPN Deportes.
By 2029, you'll have an entire segment on college player contracts and endorsements. I don't know. I might. That'd be interesting to see. What would it look like in 2029? What will we be talking about in sports? I would suggest it won't be. It'll be what we're talking about will be almost identical. The how we get to those topics will be very different. In other words, we'll still be talking about college sports, but you're right. They may very well be players getting paid, and how you get the players at your various schools may change. We'll be pissed off about officiating, but we'll be discussing different ways that the officiating's done, the technology. By then, there's no question balls and strikes will be with the umpire. There's no question the balls and strikes will be electronically called. We got to get Nick back because this is hilarious. This is great. This is the text of the day, sir. You absolutely win. When he comes back here, Jack is in the house. Gentleman Jack, also known as Crean. I call him Gentleman Jack. I like that better. The texter says, Nick on the radio. Use Vitality Wellness. Nick on Twitter. These duck croquettes and whitey sliders are delicious. Guilty as charged, my friend. Guilty as charged. Well done. Very, yeah, absolutely. I think there's no question about that. Oh, my. All right, let's see. Are there any texts I missed? They were a whole. They were coming in like a ticker tape here. Though I feel he's much improved, why do I still feel like Perry's turnover waiting to happen? Because his style of play looks like he's being looser with the ball. That's why. He comes across that way. The ball's out in front of him a lot. It's a high dribble. I don't think that's the case necessarily. I do think that they're going to have to get stuff out of him that he's capable of doing. And if that means playing Fresh at the point and moving Perry off the ball and then do some stuff to get him free to score, I think they need to try and do that. I think that would be good. You didn't hear this. Nick's just come back. This is the text of the day. This absolutely wins text of the day. This is hilarious. Can you hear me? Nick on the radio. Use Vitality Wellness. Nick on Twitter. These duck croquettes and whitey sliders are delicious. That is a bullseye. Bullseye. Boom.
That's totally fair. I'm gonna stop eating AM White Castle when I get back on this.
That was hilarious. Hilarious.
Totally true. Yeah. Totally fair. That's why, you know why I was eating that?
Because you're hungry.
Because my body's all out of whack.
It is. That's the truth.
And also I like White Castle. And duck croquettes, which are basically just duck balls.
Like actual duck?
Yeah, it's like it.
I don't like, duck is too gamey for me.
No, yeah, but if it's in like a croquette or like a ball form or whatever, pretty solid. Got him from Jack Fry's, my other job.
Yeah.
Serving tonight at Equus Jack's, by the way.
Can't beat that. Drop in there. Yeah. You know, the great thing is if you do Vitality properly, you could eat at Equus, you could eat at Jack Fry's, you could eat anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the great thing about it. You don't have to get packaged food and microwave it. You can eat any of those places. We have a score update on Western Kentucky. Have they started the second half yet?
I'm not sure.
Well, that was your cue to look it up, but I'll do it myself.
Not here. No, I'm pulling it up. One second. No, you're not, because I'm on the damn page.
Do it. Boom. Already beat you. No, Western Kentucky, Western Michigan, tied at 10 early in the third quarter. But
they're not playing yet. You're making crap
Western
up.
Kentucky, second and four from their own 40-yard line. They're definitely playing right here.
You're lying.
Right there. Got it right there.
Because second half action is now underway.
That's what I said. Okay. So we'll see how they
play. That was as of 1 minute ago.
Western Kentucky bringing their 8-4 record, trying to get to 9-5. Pretty good year overall if they're able to pull that off.
Did you see I know you mentioned it, but before we get Fred Calgill on as our last guest of the decade, why were they fighting at the NASCAR Hall of Fame?
Because players were talking smack, supposedly. I don't know. You always hear one side of it. I get more from the UK side, obviously, since I live here. But supposedly they were talking smack to Bowden, you know. Mm. By the way, if you are a fan and you're a player, to state the obvious, if they are doing that, A, it means you're a hell of a player, and B, it means you're in the head a little bit. They don't come talking smack to the third string wide receiver. Hey, Johnson, I got you. And Johnson's saying, yeah, I'll be lucky I'm on the field, Jack, so have your fun. They're only saying that because they're worried about you, and they should be worried about him because he's had a masterful year.
Does that add anything to the bowl for you? Do you think that's any – because there was media availability afterwards, and they asked Lynn about it, and he just was like, I got nothing to say. Evidently, when he gets really mad at a team, he doesn't – use their name. It's sort of like an Italian thing. Like Italians, we yell, we scream, and everything like that. But when we're quiet, that's when we're at our most pissed off. So he didn't mention Louisville's name. He didn't mention Virginia Tech's name. Does that add anything to the bowl?
I watched a fight. I don't usually watch a lot of it, but there was an MMA fight that was unbelievable in its ferocity.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck by the fact that before the fight, the guys, you know, they did that. They all do. They tap their hands. During the fight, you know, they had a little screw up and they had to come together and they were like, you know, okay. Oh, it was a low kick.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized to the guy. The fight was over. The one guy won on, you know, basically it's the referee stopped it, immediately went over to check on the guy. And I'm thinking to myself, everything outside the boundaries of the event itself was everything I like about sports. Mutual respect, respect for the game, sportsmanship. But then when they and the people say, "Oh, you said Pollyanna," then I want to take this and, you know, use it as my, when you ring my doorbell, you see this. Because in the meantime, while they were actually competing, it was a ferociousness that would make you go, holy spit, because that's how you play the game. That's the object of the game. That's what you're doing. So they were getting after it. The people who think the only way you can play the game hard is to play it dirty or to junk it up, I don't get it. I'll never get it. I don't want to get it. So it's not a matter of, oh, you don't get the rivalry. I get the rivalry. That's the, you're missing the point, I would suggest to you. I don't think I've got it wrong, because that has nothing to do with the game itself. So when I see this kind of stuff, I mean, you know, it goes on to what degree. I don't know what they said. I don't know how they said it. So I don't want to get too bent out of shape about it. I mean, they, you know, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird were two of the most legendary spit talkers in the history of sports. It was part of the game. You know, there's legendary stories about that. If you want to have some fun, go watch. There's a little 15-minute documentary on Larry Bird where they talk to some of his fellow players at the time. And it's laugh out loud funny, some of that stuff, what he's saying. I mean, it's very funny. There's one game where he's making so many shots, they supposedly got fined. I think Mike Fratello is coaching the Hawks. The Hawk players, every time he's scoring, are doing that thing, you know, where they just, oh, when they lean into each other, they're like, they're not even trying to disguise it. Early you watch when he's going, like, he's getting to like close to 40 points there. You see their eyes raise. But as he's getting to like 45 and the shots he's making, and now he's announcing them. He's telling them, I'm going to score from here. I'm going to bring, who you, he's telling guys, you can't guard me. It's hilarious. It's real. So, I mean, you know, it's not, the game doesn't have to be played like bridge. I'm not suggesting that, but the stuff that's really ugly, not a big fan of. I don't think it helps. As a player, largely I'm a byproduct. I had to concentrate as hard as I could to be effective in anything I was doing. So it was very difficult for me to be worried about how I'm going to one-up you in a verbal battle while I was trying to figure out how to play the game. But the other side is I love the game. It's all about the game for me. The game, the game, the game, the game, the game, the game. So you put the game center stage. Let's go out and try and claw each other's eyeballs out and, you know, and see, here's the rules. Let's play the hard as we can, the best we can. And then when it's over, life goes on and the winners will celebrate and the losers will be sad and life will go forward. That's, I don't know, maybe I'm a simple man. Who sings that song? Simple Man?
Leonard Skinner, I think.
Is it Leonard Skinner? I think it is.
Yeah. And then Shinedown did a version, which is pretty good.
I like Leonard Skinner's version. We'll use that as our rejoin music when we bring Fred in next year, as we roll on our last show of the decade, or depending on how you interpret it, maybe the last show just of this year, because did the decade go from 2011 to 2020 or 2010 to 2019?
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's sort of like, you know, my birthday, I'm 30. But some people say that
you're in your 31st year.
I've already lived the 30 year. I guess it kind of depends on what type of calendar you look at. And I think, you know, we do use the Julian calendar, but other people don't really use that.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
V Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Simple Man. We promised you Simple Man. Nick brings back Michael Bublé.
I forgot you requested that. Sorry.
It's all right. It sounds fine. I love this song. A little southern rock. Mama told me, I grew up on the South Shore of Long Island, so it makes perfect
when
sense.
I was young, you sit beside me.
Yep. Be a simple man.
My only son.
Good advice, Mama. Texas says, free bird! Oh, very nice. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Simple Man as advertised. Via my phone. Here's another simple man. He's actually not that simple. He's not simple. Simple used to mean stupid, really. That was a euphemistic way. He's anything but that. He's Fred Calgill. He's our friend from WLKY, and he joins us as our last guest of the year. That's quite an honor, Fred. Unfortunately, we don't give you anything for that, but I hope you feel suitably honored.
I am very much so. Last of the decade.
Well, that depends. Now, you see, that's what we were wondering. Is the decade from 00 to 19 or 11 to 20? How do you define the decade? That's a good question.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
I'm going to be selfish and say I'm the last.
Well, you know, we'll have you on again next year, and then we'll make sure that we got it covered. Either way.
Two for the price of one.
Well, the listeners, I don't mean to impose on your personal business, but I know you've had some health issues of late. How are we doing today?
Things are much better. It's kind of you to ask. It's been a rough 2019, but I'd like to believe the best days are ahead in 2020. A variety of maladies, skin cancer. I blew a hole in my left shin and a separate self-inflicted wound, unfortunately, up at the Dye Course at French Lick. Walked into an old Irish stone wall. Oof. On the edge of the golf course. And, so there's that. And I've had a kind of a heart problem since roughly April. To where they put in a monitor in my heart now. But so far, my racing heart has not replicated its problems, which went all the way to August. So I think everything, you know, the wound is almost healed. The heart's in good shape. The cancer is unclear. It was a malignancy, but they got it before it reached the eyeball, the eye socket.
Great.
And, so it's all good.
Not many people know, because Fred's in TV, they actually put a television monitor in his heart. That's the weird thing. So it's just, I'm not sure how that's helping, but yeah,
4K,
hey, whatever.
Exactly.
I never question the doctors, as long as it's high def and you're in good shape. So that's a good one.
Yes, indeed.
All right, it's a crazy busy weekend. U of L and UK for basketball. Let's start there. I mean, it's a tie, basically. And I don't know, obviously if one fan base gets heartbroken and angry and the other gets euphoric, but I'm not sure in the big picture it means a whole lot of them. They're both pretty good teams and they still have some work to do.
Well, what I like about it, when you take away all the sugarcoating and just try to get to what this really means, I think it's very good for both programs. I think for Louisville to go into a very hostile environment, to give it everything they had. I said Kentucky should be the favorite going in because of their enormous success at home. Vegas guys give Rupp sometimes as much as an 8-point advantage. When Kentucky's there playing, and rightfully so, John Calipari's only lost 10 games there in 11 seasons. So that said, and for the way Louisville played, to have you said before the game, the top scorer, 22 points a game in Jordan Wara, basically would be taken out of the game. Brooks with an amazing defensive job. And for Louisville to be down, still go on a 15-2 run, tie the game with a brief lead, go to overtime, give it all they had and come just a bit short, I mean, it can only bode well for them, a quality loss if there is such a thing. And for Kentucky, which really needed it also, I think it really showed, especially for Tyrese Maxey, when the lights go on, that guy raises his game to a different level. So much needed for both sides, and I think they both really get positive traction out of it.
You know, what's interesting to me, something that really hasn't been discussed much, and I was just, because I was just going through my schedule for myself, to be honest with you, and I realized Louisville plays the next two games at home, then they only play two of the next seven at home, and then really down the stretch, it's as you get into conference play, obviously you're on the road a lot, but they, because they opened with their first two league games at home, it's kind of waited for more road games, and then they got the next two. They're going to play their first. Well, no, they played Miami on the road, but then they're going to play three straight conference games at home. So from mid-January till February, there's a lot of road games on the docket for this team, and you got to be careful you don't get in a slide. I guess to your point, the good news is you're not going to play in an environment that's harder than that one at Rupp, and they played it to the point where they got it to overtime. But to be honest, they didn't play that well. So you're more encouraged by that or discouraged by that?
No, very encouraged by it. I mean, to not play well, to still be in it, in the thick of it, your best player literally disappears, which is very unusual for him to find other guys. Because when he was when Moore was going through what he was going through, I began asking myself, where do the points come from? To see Press Kimball step up, to see, you know, Stephen Enoch step up. So many guys raise their games in a very difficult environment to even, you know, maintain your game, much less raise your game. So, no, I love what I saw from both teams. I mean, I really, people are going to say I'm trying to, you know, appease the masses, so to speak, but this is the way I really feel. I mean, I really think that moving forward, that they've both proven something to themselves, but, you know, unless you build on that, of course, it's a waste of time. And, you know, Kentucky certainly showed a lot of issues in those two games in Vegas, exposed in a lot of ways that they're going to really need to improve on. But, you know, I think in the long haul, if you force me to guess, both these teams are going to be there in March, maybe in April. I mean, we'll see. I mean, whether they can make it to Atlanta or not in the Final Four. You know, I heard a comment from John Calipari, I think, in the Louisville pregame where he said, you know, there are 50 teams that you almost could split hairs with, and some days we're near the top and some days we're near the bottom. And I'm not sure it's 50, but I do believe that unlike some past years where we've seen four or five elite teams, this year, you know, boy, it is so hard to split. I mean, where are, you know, is it four, is it eight, is it 12, is it 20? I mean, to see some of the upsets that we've seen, to see the Big Ten so dominant at home and so challenged for road teams to win in that league, which is so tough anyway, it's going to be a fun next couple months. And for those that don't sort of get this also, so roughly a 31-game season. We're almost at the halfway point of the season when you think about it, the regular season anyway. So it's, I'm looking forward to this, to see the second half and where it goes. I mean, January and February are going to be an awful lot of fun and make us forget the cold weather.
Talking to Fred Cowgill from Channel 32 WLKY. Happy to have him back on our program. We talked a little hoop. The football teams take center stage today and tomorrow. I talked about this a little earlier with Tim Sullivan, but I'd love to get your thoughts. What's really on the line for the two teams in these bowl games, do you think?
No, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't think it can be sold short how valuable a bowl win is in terms of the feel-good and the traction it gives guys when you start lifting weights again in, you know, February and March and all that other stuff, and you're like, wow, it's a long way to the end of August and early September again. And a loss certainly leaves a bitter taste. Sometimes it can be motivating. For Louisville to have come so far, I mean, arguably the most dramatic turnaround of the year, certainly on a short list, to go from two wins in 2018 to seven and maybe even eight if they're lucky and play well today in 2019. I mean, that's pretty jaw-dropping, win or lose today. But, of course, a win, I think, really helps in so many ways and so many levels with a rebuilding program. And for Kentucky, I mean, this has been a real validation for patience. And, you know, Kentucky did it with Rich Brooks, and now it's done it here in this situation with Stoops. And frankly, I love patience. We don't see much of it anymore. And because the money is so big, I get that, like the New York Football Giants having to fire their coach. You can't be patient very long when you've got literally billions of dollars on the line. But getting back to college football, to see Kentucky stay with Stoops through thick and thin, four straight bowls now for just, I think, the second time in their history, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's really, really cool. And, of course, a win, same thing, would only give positive traction and would give Mark Stoops 32 wins in the last four seasons. I mean, think about that for a second. If he'd said before he was hired that Mark Stoops would lead Kentucky to 32 wins in four seasons, an average of eight a season, and a 10-win season in 2018, that's pretty unbelievable given, you know, the past performances of the Kentucky football program for 100 years.
I certainly, you know, love to talk all the local teams with you, but there's a couple of national stories that I'd love to get your comment on. You hinted at one already, but the NFL takes everybody's basically is interested in it. All you got to just look at the TV ratings, and they speak for themselves. The Giants are going through another transition. Eli Manning is the centerpiece of that discussion, in addition, of course, to the new coach, but he's not going to be back with the Giants. He said as much. His father said earlier he couldn't imagine his son playing for another team, but he hasn't made a decision yet about retirement. If he's not going to play with the Giants, he'd be content to be a backup, and he's made that clear he's not. Does he have an option to go anywhere else?
If I were his dad, I'd tell him to retire. What do you have left to prove? He's been smart with his money, apparently, and I mean, he's set for life. And knowing the carnage, the potential carnage of what happens to football players later in life with concussions and all that, why not get out? I know there's, you know, this competitive hunger, which is really hard to make go away. I always go back to what happened with Phil Sims, one of my all-time favorite players, like to call him friend, got here at 87 when he led the Giants to the Super Bowl win, and I got to cover it, which was exceptionally cool given the horrible program for like 20 years in a row with the Giants up to that point. And our entire childhood, you know how bad they were.
Yep.
What's the Eagles quarterback, or the Giants quarterback that fumbled it away?
Joe Pisarcik.
Yes, I try to forget his name on purpose. One of the most painful moments in Giants history. So to be with Phil and for them to win the Super Bowl in 87 and to be there was exceptionally cool. He had the chance at the end of his career to play for the Redskins, one of the arch rivals of the Giants. And the Giants didn't want him anymore. The Giants wanted him to retire. He wanted to play one more year, and after much debate, he walked. I think at least in part because he had a very lucrative career ahead of him with first WCBS and then CBS Network, which he's still at. So I hope Eli does the same thing. I'm all about a guy playing for one team, and he has a unique opportunity to always be remembered for that. We don't see those much anymore, and I think it's really, really cool. But I don't think it's in his best interest. And what's the upside for him to play another year unless he's put into a situation where he has a chance to win? I mean, I go back to Peyton Manning. He went to the Broncos because he had a chance to win and didn't want to give up, you know, that fun that you have with the boys. And I get that. But there aren't many spots that would provide Eli Manning that where they would want him. So I personally, if I were him, I would retire graciously and go into broadcasting, which he probably will.
So strange, because I so emotionally identify with all the New York teams, much to some people's chagrin, who say, well, how can you root for the Yankees and the Mets? And I was like, well, you know, I've only once in my life ever had to worry about that in the World Series. I'd love to worry about that every year. That'd be fun. So, but the football teams, I've kind of emotionally, I don't know why, had a hard time staying connected to, probably because they have both seemingly just blitzed through coaches and players, and it's hard to get an emotional connection with any of them. Like when I was a kid, the Jets had Joe Namath, and man, that was appointment watching. And then, as you said, the Giants put together some great teams. And even before that, before they got really bad, for a few years, they had Fran Tarkenton, who was a Hall of Fame quarterback, and at least they were competitive. But I don't know. I've just had my hard time getting my arms around these teams, to the point where my favorite team probably right now is the Baltimore Ravens because of Lamar. I love watching them, and I'm all jazzed up about their playoff run. I don't know what it is about New York and football that I don't know whether the scrutiny is higher. Somebody made the point, Andy made the point earlier, the Jets have been dysfunctional. The Giants have rested on their laurels for too long. The thought that we're the Giants, it's a special place, people will want to come here, and the cult, the landscape's changed a bit. You're a diehard Giants fan, as much as I know. So you think that's true? Do you think they got a little fat and stupid and thinking there was still some specialness to the brand that kind of disappeared?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I will admit, I didn't watch many games this year because it was too painful to watch.
Yeah, there's nothing compelling to watch for.
I watched Lamar because he was so much fun to watch. And the ratings speak for themselves when it comes to the Louisville market. There's been a great debate with Colts fans who are absolutely unhappy that we showed so many Lamar games, sometimes at the expense of showing the Colts. But Lamar's ratings on an average were triple what the Colts got on our TV station.
Wow.
I mean, it's not even close. I mean, there was one week where he got an 18 rating.
Oh, my God.
The Colts, we showed the Colts opener this year. You think it'd be a lot of interest in that being at the opener, you know, optimism is high, you know, and all that other stuff. It got a 5 rating.
Wow.
So, I mean, when it's 1.4, you know, Colts fans are like, this isn't fair. I'm like, you know, first of all, we're broadcasting that narrowcasting. Well, that's one player. He's an ex-Louisville player. There are a lot more people here. I'm like, people get a vote every week. 1.4 million people vote every week about what they watch. Whether we like it or not, I get a report card every morning who's watching us and who's watching everybody else. And when Lamar played, he got as high as an 18 rating. And the Colts would get a 5, sometimes maybe a 6 if they were lucky. So it's why we showed a lot of Lamar games. And to your point, I love watching him because he's so much fun to watch. Not just the emotional connection, you know, covering and all that, going to the Heisman, seeing him win in New York and all that, which was exceptionally fun. He's just, I mean, the team's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. When you have Jets players standing in line after the game to get autographs from the opposing quarterback, I mean, I never as a kid, Bob, I mean, we go back a long way. And in the 60s in New York, you never, the 70s, you never saw opposing players standing on the field after a game looking for an autograph from the opposing quarterback? No.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. This guy, he's got that it factor that a lot of people don't have. And you can see that the way the other players regard him. So I hope. It doesn't play out this way because the margin of separation is so small. But for my money, the best teams in the NFL right now are the Ravens and the 49ers. 49ers are really good, too. So if that's the Super Bowl, that'd be pretty tasty. There's a lot of steps to get there, but those two teams look like the best.
I agree completely. I mean, if you play basically, I hate to use the word chalk, but if you play what on paper appear to be the teams that have been the most successful in a variety of ways and can do it in a variety of ways, those are the two teams who logically should end up in the Super Bowl on the first Sunday in February.
Buddy, we got to run. Thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us again. I'm glad your health's on the mend, and I'll see you soon. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year, Bob. Congratulations on such a great run as well.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And right back at you. Fred Calgill with us as we take you down the stretch here for our last show. Although we've been chastised that it is not the end of the decade. The next year is the end of the decade. But so it's the last guest for the year. And then we'll have him on again next year. And this way we'll have it covered. So there you go. Take that. we'll book that right now. We can tease that for 365 days here. Don't forget, join us December 31st.
I love to send some texts to some of our guests, our recurring guests, our regular guests, and try to book them months in advance.
That would be good. And then do promos. Don't forget, join us August 9th. We'll have John Clay will join us from Lexington.
Do a look ahead for
joining us, doing the look ahead for the UK U of L basketball game, which is now 3 months away from that radio appointment and 12 months away from where we are now. Do you know they have a bobblehead, a UK U of L rivalry bobblehead? I've got to get my mitts on that. It's the two mascots standing there, you know, with their fists up like they get ready to box. And very, very cool. That is absolutely one I got to get my hands on.
That is very cool.
Yeah, I have to see if we can add that to the bob. My birthday's coming up next month. I'm just saying.
Intent.
Just suggesting.
Intent.
Just suggesting. We don't have anything else to do, so why don't we just step aside and tell you I will not be here tomorrow. So you guys have a very, very safe and happy New Year's Eve. If you're available early tomorrow night, you can come join us in the Chinese restaurant. That's our very quiet New Year's Eve tradition. Very happy about that. And then we'll be back at it with you after the New Year. So thanks, everybody, for all of your support here. We've enjoyed it, and there's more to come. Andy's got the take coming up next on ESPN Radio. Happy New Year!